Well, take your Bibles again and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue our study of the Ten Commandments and on our second week on the third commandment, which is found in Exodus 20, verse 7. And as we do each week, I'll briefly review where we've been on this particular commandment, and then we'll begin to expand upon that and understand it more. The third commandment is found in Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And we saw in this basic understanding of the third commandment that we really need to understand three words in particular, the first word being the word name. And we saw that name here not only refers to the name itself, but to all that God is, his nature, his character, his works, and his word. And that God and all things pertaining to him should be treated in a holy manner. It should be hallowed. There should be a reverence. And therefore, as it prohibits here, it should not be treated in an unholy manner. It should not be treated carelessly or contemptuously, flippantly, deceitfully, or in any other vain way. Instead, his name, all that he is and all that pertains to him, is to be hallowed. And that's why Jesus said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so the name of God, of course, and we'll see today, refers to his name as we speak it, even, and how we treat it in our speech. But it's more than that. It's who he is and everything pertaining to him is to be treated as holy and is not to be taken in vain. The second word we looked at in particular was the word take. The word there means literally to lift or to carry, but also to bear in a figurative sense. We speak of bearing the name of someone else. And so we can take up his name with our words, but we also bear his name by how we live. And so we're not to misuse, misrepresent, or abuse in any way by our words or in any other form of representation, including our lives, the name of God. And so we're not to take up his name, we're not to bear his name by words, thoughts, or deeds in a manner that does not honor him and his name. And then the third word in particular that's important to understand is the word vain, which means empty, useless, careless, without thought, or in order to demean, whether it's intentional or not. And so we talked about how we can take God's name in vain in many ways by how we treat God, his name, his word, his ordinances, his church, his people, his creation, those created in his image, how we treat his providences even, we will see. We don't want to treat anything, again, pertaining to God, his name, his character, his person, in vain, in an empty, careless, thoughtless way. And we saw that we can do this with our words, the way we speak, using God's name carelessly, using God's name as a curse word. And so we'll talk of that in more detail today. But we saw by way of summary that we can speak with sinful and unholy intent and take God's name in vain. That is, when we seek to deceive those who would swear by God's name without the intent of doing what they're saying, but with the intent to deceive. And so they're using God's name, swearing by God's name, saying things like, well, as the Lord lives, and yet they have no intention. They're using God's name to make people think they're honest and being truthful and will keep their word, when in fact, their intent is to deceive. And so oaths taken in God's name with no intent to keep them takes his name in vain. They were at times falsely swearing by his name, and that's condemned in Leviticus 19, verse 12. Also, this means that those who prophesied falsely in his name were taking his name in vain, and that is prohibited in the scriptures as well. That's a form of breaking the third commandment. But we saw also that we can take his name in vain by our lives, by living in hypocrisy and sin while we claim to know him and love him. And we saw that all of our sin really takes his name in vain. And we saw that David in 2 Samuel, when he committed sin against Bathsheba, it says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. And so there's reference made to his sin giving occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme his name. Therefore, his sin, David's sin, took God's name in vain, treated it as unholy before others. We'll see examples of that as well, God willing, next week. And so we need to be careful how we treat the name of God. And so that's just by way of review. Now, let me bring in again, as I've been doing along the way, the Westminster Larger Catechism on the Third Commandment. Question 112, what is required in the Third Commandment? And it answers it in this way. The Third Commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be holily and reverently used in thought. Holily there mean in a holy manner, is how it's spelled. Holily and reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing by a holy profession and answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. And so the name of God is to be used for his glory, for the good of others, and for the good of ourselves. And then it asks this question, what are the sins forbidden in the Third Commandment? And the answer is this, the sins forbidden in the Third Commandment are the not using of God's name as is required, and the abuse of it in an ignorant, vain, irreverent, profane, superstitious, or wicked mentioning, or otherwise using his titles, attributes, ordinances, or works by blasphemy, perjury, all sinful cursings, oaths, vows, and lots, violating of our oaths and vows, if lawful, and fulfilling them, if of things unlawful. Now listen, as it goes even further in ways we take God's name in vain. Murmuring and quarreling at, curious prying into, and misapplying of God's decrees and providences. Again, you've got to think about that. That's not the language we typically use today. But yet, one of the ways, and we'll, if we have time this morning, we'll talk about briefly, that we take God's name in vain is by murmuring and quarreling at the decrees and providences of God. So complaining about God's providences in your life is a manner in which we take his name in vain. He goes on to say, misinterpreting, misapplying, or any way perverting the word or any part of it, to profane jests, curious or unprofitable questions, vain janglings, janglings means meaningless talk, empty, idle discussion, or the maintenance of false doctrine. Abusing it, that is God's name, the creatures or anything contained under the name of God, to charms, that is magic incantations or spells, or sinful lusts and practices, the maligning, scorning, reviling, or anywise opposing of God's truth, grace, and ways, making profession of religion in hypocrisy or for sinister ends, being ashamed of it or ashamed to it by unconformable, unwise, unfruitful, and offensive walking or backsliding from it. You begin to see the idea of how broad this prohibition is, and then by way of correlation to what it then commands of us and how we're to treat God's name holy. God is holy. Everything pertaining to God is holy. Therefore, he, his name, his works, his ways, his word, everything pertaining to God is to be treated as holy and with the reverence that is due to his name and consistent with his character. And so it's a very convicting commandment. Now, we want to get more specific, and we're going to do so this morning by considering ways in which we take God's name in vain, first of all, with our words and our speech. So let's consider ways in which we take God's name in vain with our words. But before I do that, we need to just speak briefly and lay the foundation of how we need to use our words in general, because it falls generally under that category. As we begin to think, we don't want to speak God's name in vain and take it in vain in that manner. Why? Because not only in how we speak of God, but even more broadly, how we speak at all is to be in a holy manner in accordance with the character of God and as he has revealed in his moral will. And so therefore, all sinful communication should be put away from us, right? Isn't that what Scripture teaches? So Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed. So with our lives, our deeds, of course our thoughts will be included in that, but our words as well. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there it says we are to speak, and when we speak, it should be under the banner and consistent with the name. Think of what we've already talked about, the character and person of Jesus Christ. It should be consistent with who he is, his holiness and his character. And it should represent our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our words should be spoken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that doesn't simply mean that I say something and I say that in the name of Jesus. It just means that our words are to be holy, consistent with Christ, his character, be done in a manner that would honor and glorify him. So Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, as this is applied to relationships. Only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment so that it will give grace to those who hear. And so our words are to be, what's to be absent from our words are unwholesome words, literally rotten words that Greek word means. And so all unwholesome words are to be put away from us. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. And if it does, and this is a breaking of God's revealed will regarding the manner in which we are to speak. No forms of corrupt or sinful communication should come out of our mouths. Nothing that is unwholesome, decayed, rotten, and therefore useless, of no value, unfit, unprofitable. And so this would include broadly profanity, of course, but careless words, sins of the tongue like gossip, slander, lying, complaining, grumbling, angry words, and the list goes on and on. And so as believers, we must be careful about what proceeds from our mouths. And that's what I'm emphasizing here. We shouldn't speak at all in a manner without thought about what we're saying and whether or not it represents our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a manner worthy of him, just as we know the Scripture says that we're to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, we're to speak in a manner worthy of our calling. So we have to be careful about what proceeds out of our mouths. We have to think about what we say because we want it to be said in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a manner that brings honor to his name, character, as those who call ourselves Christians, in a manner that is consistent with his character. And so I'm emphasizing they must be carefully spoken words. Someone might say, well, that just slipped. That just came out. I didn't mean to say that. And we know that happens. But God says, don't let it just slip. Be more thoughtful and careful with the use of your tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So you see the contrast in that parallelism there in Proverbs 15, 28, the heart of the righteous versus the mouth of the wicked. And you see the relationship between the mouth and the heart. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So there's this antithetic parallelism in Proverbs 15, 28, speaking of the heart of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked. There is a heart-mouth connection. The mouth speaks of that which fills the heart. And he says about the righteous, they ponder how to answer. They think about how to answer. That is a characteristic of the righteous. They don't just pour out words. They're pondering, considering, thinking about how do I answer in whatever situation it may be. But in contrast to that, the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. I always think of just turning on the water spigot and contaminated water just pours out and spews out uncontrolled. And everything it touches, it contaminates. It just spouts out, pours out evil things. But yet again, for the believer, it's God's will that we ponder how to answer. Our words must be thoughtful and purposeful. They must be self-controlled and measured. They must be holy and godly. So, if that is true of all of our words, and that should be the case, it should be self-evident and indisputable that how we speak the name of God should be thoughtful, purposeful, holy, and godly. It shouldn't just carelessly come out of our mouths. His name, as we think of literally speaking of God and his name or things pertaining to him, we must not be careless in how we speak of him and his name. For God is glorious. You know the word glory in Greek? The word is kavod. It means weighty, heavy. And we talk about things being weighty, meaning those are solemn things. Those are important things. Those are weighty things, we say. God is glorious. There is a weight and a soberness to God and things pertaining to God. And therefore, there should always be reverence and weightiness in the manner in which we speak of him. Not flippancy or carelessness or thoughtlessness. As I quoted last week, William S. Plummer, he said this, "To take God's name in vain is to use it in any frivolous, false, inconsiderate, irreverent, or otherwise wicked manner. The manner of taking his name is to be grave, solemn, intelligent, thoughtful, sincere, and with godly fear." And so our words are to be with thought and carefulness in general. So, of course, how we speak of God and his name should be careful and thoughtful and purposeful and holy. And so we need to consider that whole matter of how do we speak of God and how do we break this commandment in how we speak of God. Well, we break God's commandment here in our everyday usage of God's name. We'll just put it broadly under the category of how people take his name in vain, speak his name of things pertaining to him, in their just everyday usage of God's name. And under that, we might consider cursing and profanity. We take God's name in vain when we use his name as a curse word, intentionally or not. It's still taking his name in vain. When we call upon God to curse someone or something, that's taking God's name in vain. If that is to be done, which, by the way, the Apostle Paul did that. He called upon God and made a pronouncement of a condemnation in Galatians 1 when he spoke of those who preach a false gospel. And he said, let them be accursed. Let them be damned. Anathema, the Greek word. And that, by the way, was a holy way in which he's speaking of that, when he speaks of they should be cursed, and he's speaking of God cursing them. If anyone, including myself, he's saying, is preaching a false gospel, we're to be cursed. God, may God curse and condemn us. And anyone else preaching a false gospel. But we know that people call upon God to curse things all the time and without any thought. And God's name is therefore used carelessly and in a profane way. And not only the name of God, but the name of Jesus. It's interesting that if you look in the Oxford English Dictionary, as I did online this week, and you just look up the name Jesus in the Oxford English Dictionary, the first definition there is the central figure of the Christian religion. Okay? But then, as a subheading under that, it says this, as an exclamation, an oath used to express irritation, dismay, or surprise. that the name of Jesus is so used in our language in that manner that it made its way into the Oxford English Dictionary, that people use the name Jesus as an exclamation to express irritation, dismay, or surprise. In the same way that people use God's name in general in that way, when they say, oh my, and use God's name. It's used for emphasis, to express emotions such as surprise or anger or even excitement. Without any thought to the fact that we're using the name of Jesus or the name of God. And this is prevalent. Doesn't this fill our society? Those who say they don't even believe in a God, and therefore they use his name carelessly. This is also done even by Christians, in a euphemistic way often, to avoid actually using the name God or the name Jesus. And it's often done without any thought. And in fact, I would submit to you that there are those in the body of Christ here at Grace Fellowship Church who are using verbally God's name in vain and using euphemisms or what are called minced oaths, thereby using God's name in vain without even realizing it. Now, I said minced oaths. Minced. What does that mean? Well, minced oaths are euphemistic expressions made by altering or clipping profane words and expressions to make them less objectionable. So, you know, we talk about, I don't mince my words. Someone says, I don't mince words. That's an expression that means I don't cut up my words and make it more acceptable. I just say it like it is. So when we talk about a minced oath, it's the idea of someone using, saying things, and historically making oaths, but saying in a euphemistic way so as not to be objectionable. So it's someone mincing words, cutting them up, clipping them up in a sense, or changing them, altering them in some way, so as not to seem as objectionable as if they use the actual words themselves. Now, some of you may recall an email that was circulated some years ago at Grace Fellowship Church from Grace Gems. I know a number of you received that email called Grace Gems. And in that, an editor wrote this about an article that was in Grace Gems. Minced oaths are used to avoid swearing when expressing surprise or annoyance. Minced oaths are usually, although not exclusively, religious in nature and date from the days when it was irreverent and unacceptable to use the name God, Jesus, or any other sacred words in everyday speech. To mince your words means to choose words so as not to offend anyone except for God, who sees them as sacrilege, that is, the sin of profaning sacred things. So, what are some of these minced words? And again, it need to be talked about because without getting a little more specific, we might not even think about it. So, for example, when it comes to cursing and profanity, people say darn or dang. And they're just using, they're mincing their words, using a word that's euphemistic or similar to in some way for the word damn. And so they'll say those words when something happens and use it as an exclamation and think, therefore, they're not sinning because they didn't use the particular word. When in fact, the intent is the same. It's the same thing. People use the word heck for the word hell. Instead of using hell as it's intended to be used as a real place of condemnation and judgment, they use it in a way that is profane. People say, what the heck? And it means something. Or, listen, if you just cut it off, you say, well, what the? It's the same thing. Just because you stop and don't use the word, it's the same thing. Or a person says, well, I'll be what? She may not even know where that comes from. But it comes from, well, I'll be, and uses the word damned. So, we have to think. See, we should be thoughtful in how we use our words. You may say, well, I'll be. It's out of habit. Something you've always heard. Maybe your parents said it. Maybe you've heard it said. And you haven't thought about it. Christians, we should think about it. Where did that come from? It's very enlightening when you begin to think about it. Wow, I didn't realize that's what I was saying. And here's where that came from. Or when people say, gosh. Well, that's a euphemistic way. That's mincing words. That's a substitute for God. So people say, oh my gosh. It's the same thing. You're just using a euphemism for God's name. In this article from Grace Gems, the editor talks about historically different words that were used for Jesus' name or Christ's name, where people would mince their words, mince their oaths, and alter the name of Jesus or God so as to make them less objectionable. So people use the word Christmas in that way. They'll just say Christmas, and they really mean Christ. Or you ever heard Jeepers Creepers? That came from someone saying, well, I don't want to say Jesus Christ in a profane way, so they'll say, well, Jeepers Creepers. Or Jiminy Christmas. Or in Disney's production of Pinocchio, animated production, there's a character named Jiminy Cricket. That actually comes historically from people using Jesus' name in a particular euphemistic way so as not to be as objectionable. Or gee whiz. That comes from just an altered way of eventually, instead of saying, well, Jesus Christ in some profane way, they say gee whiz. So there are all kinds of ways that people knowingly or unknowingly use the name of Jesus in a profane way, and therefore take his name in vain. And we're just talking about the most fundamental, basic ways in which we can do that, intentionally or not. Again, my goodness. What do you mean by that? You have goodness? Are you really referring to your goodness? No, the saying just comes from, oh my goodness. Goodness then became a substitute for God. Or my gosh. Or today, just OMG is taking God's name in vain. People would say, well, by God. And then that turned into by George or by golly or by gosh. People would say, good God, in a profane way, using his name carelessly. And that turned into good grief and good gracious. The initials GD, you know what that means. People will say, well, gosh darned. That's saying the same thing. You say, well, you're using this. Listen, you need to know. You need to think about it. We need to talk about it. A famous basketball coach commonly says, well, dadgum. That's switching the G and the D and altering and mincing the words a little bit. And it's calling upon God to curse something. Dadgum. If you've shown videos of Winnie the Pooh to your children, the owl will say, what? Dag nabbit. That's a mincing words, oaths, for calling upon God to curse. Dag nabbit. Doggone. These are all just ways of people altering words instead of saying what is objectionable. If you just say it, now we say that and people don't think about it, and with the passing of time, people might lose the connection. But it's just a careless use of that we as Christians need to be careful that no unwholesome word proceeds out of our mouths, and we're not using God's name euphemistically or by way of mincing our words and cutting up our words and moving words around or using substitutes in a way that in essence is using God's name in vain. People say flippantly, Lord, have mercy. It makes me cringe. Are you really asking God to have mercy? Or listen, even sometimes we say things like this. Well, bless his heart. Are you really thoughtfully asking God to bless someone's heart? Or is that, as we talk about in our home, a manner in which you just say, what a dumb thing they did. Bless his heart. That wasn't real good in some cases. No, you're saying God bless his heart. You're calling upon God to bless that person. It's a benediction. But if you say, well, bless his heart, I'm not using God's name, but that's what I'm doing. I'm calling upon God to bless his heart. I'm not atheistic. You're saying, well, would his heart, through the process of just whatever's happening in the universe, bless his heart in some way to his good? No, it's calling upon God to bless a person. Don't carelessly use that. And so we don't need to use those minced words, minced oaths, as it's been called historically, that really take God's name in vain. We need to be thoughtful about how we speak. And we're so careless in this and thoughtless about this is that we can do it, even after talking about it, we can do it without thought of it because it just is habit, what we do. And so we need to help each other in this manner, in our homes, how we direct our children, how we speak to our children, what we say in our conversations and in the body of Christ, and just point out, hey, what you just said is a minced oath. You know, that actually comes from this. We want to be careful in how we use God's name. But not only using God's name as a curse word or profanity, knowingly or unknowingly, but just the flippancy in which people use God's name takes his name in vain. So again, things, it kind of follows, it's in both categories, a broad umbrella, but things like TGIF. You say, well, thank God it's Friday. Are you really thanking God it's Friday? Are you really caring about what day it is and all of that? Or is it just using God's name carelessly? Or when people call God by things that are unholy or less than he is, when they call God the big man upstairs. When I hear people say that, and from time to time I've heard people say that, or an athlete, someone will say something about the big man upstairs or the guy upstairs, immediately I think he does not know the true and living God, and he does not know Jesus Christ, his son. Now, it's possible he does, possible that he has not been convicted of that sin, it's been exposed by the light of God's word in his life, but when people so carelessly speak of God in a way that is not worthy of him, God is my co-pilot. No, he's not. He's your Lord, your God. Or billboards that claim to be from God. Church signs and marquees. That's one of the things that if I could eliminate one thing, it would be church signs, marquees that say things about God, that take the holy and make it trivial. Things like God should be your steering wheel, not your spare tire. That's taking God's name in vain. That's comparing God to something in some way that's not worthy of him. Or I've seen these marquees that say, don't ignore God's friend requests. It's just bringing God down to the mundane and the unholy. Or our lifeguard walks on water. Or sun, S-O-N, screen, prevents sin, burn. That is blasphemous. That's treating what is holy in an unholy way. Listen, attempts at humor with reference to God. We could just say any attempt at humor with reference to God is treating God in an unholy way. Some of you are familiar with the website, the Babylon Bee. God's name is taken in vain throughout that website. We might debate that is everything there taking God's name in vain? It's satirical, it's meant to prove a point, but I can show you specific articles, if not the vast majority, in which it is taking things that are holy and now through humor trying to make a point when God has given us a way to make a point, and that is his revealed word. Listen, all of this takes what is holy and treats it lightly. It treats precious and weighty truths lightly and trivially. When people speak of salvation like this, get saved or get microwaved, that is taking something that is wholly pertaining to God and his wrath and salvation and all those things, and it's treating it as unholy, and therefore it is indeed taking God's name in vain. Or people say, without thought, about something that may happen, they say, hallelujah. Without thought that what they're saying, hallelujah, is Hebrew for praise the Lord. We should never say praise the Lord without thought and meaning hallelujah. And now it's just become a way in which people flippantly, carelessly speak of God and his word, knowingly or unknowingly. When I was studying this whole thing of images of Jesus again and reminding myself of some things in the past with the movie The Passion of the Christ, and I found online this pastor of a large megachurch who was interviewing there in the church, Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in that movie. And Jim Caviezel comes up and he hugs him and he sits down and he starts calling Jim Caviezel his brother, even though he's Roman Catholic and not even Roman Catholic in many ways and doesn't even hold to some of their doctrines. in many ways. But he sits down and he says to his congregation, to the laughs of many, "I just hugged Jesus." It's blasphemous. Things like that are blasphemous. It's taking God's name in vain. It's using things that are pertaining to God in God's name itself in a flippant manner. Brethren, this is a violation of the third commandment. We need to be thoughtful in how we speak in general. We need to be thoughtful in how we speak of God and things pertaining to God. Now, again, I've said, intentionally or not, we sometimes don't know that we're doing it. We don't think about what we're saying. And just like in other areas, we need to be sanctified in this. It has to be brought to our attention. We need to be aware of it. But part of that is we need to think ourselves, what did I just say and why did I say that and what does that mean? Is that really what I wanted to say and what I wanted to express in that situation? Was it a wholesome word or unwholesome word? Was it a careful use of my words in God's name and things pertaining to God or not? And so we have to examine ourselves in light of this. And this is just the most basic, fundamental understanding of the third commandment. And so we can take God's name in vain through cursing, profanity, flippancy, and the use of God's name and things pertaining to Him. But let me end with this morning, another way in which with our words we can take God's name in vain, and that is through prayer. Sometimes we take God's name in vain in prayer. Now we can do this in a number of ways. If you'll look in Matthew 6 briefly, let me show you some ways that we can do that in prayer. And even what we're doing when we're saying we're praying to God, something that is good and holy and commanded, but if we're not careful, we can then in our prayers treat God in an unholy manner and break the third commandment. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus addressing the multiple ways in which the religious leaders of the day sinned and violated God's moral law, says in Matthew 6:1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." And so he goes on and talks about ways in which they practice their supposed righteousness before men with the heart motive of being noticed by them. And this is actually a way in which we can take God's name in vain in prayer too. He addresses that they prayed in verse 5, "When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men." And so they would pray to God, but do it in such a way, an ostentatious way, a way that drew attention to themselves, the motive being they wanted to be noticed by men. So now they are bearing the name of God through prayer in a manner that's unworthy of Him, for their purpose for praying in the manner which they did it really was bringing notice and honor and glory to them rather than to God. And in that manner, we can take God's name in vain in prayer. Through conspicuous prayer, they love to pray in public. Through ostentatious, showy, flashy, self-focused display, they would do so at certain times, and they would want to make sure, wherever they were, "Oh, now I'm going to pray, and I need to turn to Jerusalem, and I need to pray," and it would be for the purpose of bringing attention to themselves. And then hypocritical praying, again, bringing honor to themselves, or ritualistic praying, just praying at certain times and repeating things over and over without thought. And therefore, he addresses in verse 7 this repetitious prayer. "And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard by their many words." Today, you see this sometimes in the Pentecostal charismatic movement where they'll just say the name of Jesus over and over and over and over, speaking His name, because they say there's power in the name, the spoken name. So you just say Jesus over and over and over, thinking that somehow invokes answers to their prayers and bring some sort of power to their prayers, when it's just meaningless repetition of His name, using His name in vain. And we can do this sometimes if we're not careful, just repeating God's name over and over and over in prayer without thought. About every other few, you know, 5 or 6 words, we say, God, I pray that God, you would be pleased, God, to do this, God, and we just use it over and over again. Think if we did that in the way we communicate to one another, and I start a conversation with my wife, and I say, Angela, would you be willing, Angela, to go to the store, Angela, and get this for me, Angela, and then on your way back, Angela? We don't talk that way with each other. We don't say names and repeat them like that. Why do we do it with God? It's because God's name is a filler for our prayers, and we're repeating it meaningless in a repetitious way without thought in how we're addressing God. And in that way, we can take God's name in vain, use it thoughtlessly, carelessly, even in our praying. Or just tacking at the end of our prayers in Jesus' name without thought or understanding of what that means. It's not a formula we just add to the end. No, it's something that has meaning. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. Well, what does that mean? We talked about that during communion briefly in the message I preached in John 15. Asking, making requests in Jesus' name. Again, that which is consistent with his character, that would be according to the will of Jesus and the manner which Jesus would pray. And we're representing him as we pray, and we want his will. And there's so many things involved in praying in Jesus' name. It means something. It's not just a meaningless phrase we tack on the end to say, okay, I've said that. That's the formula for now. God answering my prayers. And so even in our praying, the motive, the attitude, the reason we pray, how we pray, and the use of God's word in speaking, or God's name in speaking God in prayer. We have to be careful lest we take his name in vain. So you begin to see how, again, how broad this is when we understand that what the commandment is saying is that we're not to take his name, God, his actual name, things pertaining to him, that which is holy, it's to be treated as holy. It's not to be used in a vain, thoughtless, careless, contemptuously way, flippant manner, any of those things. You begin to see how broad that commandment is. And then you begin to see how thoughtful and careful we should live our lives and speak words and think about God and how we speak of him and pray to him and represent him, and begin to see how broad this commandment is. And so, brethren, you see again how the law of God is good and wise and sets his will before our eyes. It shows us the way of righteousness. It shows us our sin. And it shows us that which is pleasing in his sight as those who are in Christ, that we might honor him in the manner in which we treat him. And so, brethren, this is just beginning, as we say, scratching the surface of this commandment and how it touches all of our lives. But this is just with our words, and we're not even finished with that. So God willing, we'll talk about that more next time, and we'll then broaden that to then how we, again, speak of or live in light of God's providences, in light of how we make decisions, in light of how we just live our lives in general. And so, brethren, this morning, I just want you to think about and ask God to demonstrate in your heart and life how you speak and how you speak of him and things pertaining to him, that we would not treat or take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We pray that you would be treated as holy. We pray that we as your people would be careful in how we speak, how we live, that we would live and speak in a manner that is honoring to you and honoring to your name, that how we speak your name as others hear it even, our children and others, would represent who you are, would be consistent with your holy character, that there would be a soberness and a weightiness to things pertaining to you. Father, we thank you for those times in which we can laugh at various things, and there can be, in one sense, Lord, in our relationships, that joy and jovialness. But Father, even in that, I pray we would be careful not to, in the process of those things, to cross a line in treating you unholy, taking your name in vain. Father, as we consider how we respond and react to circumstances in a moment, things of displeasure to us and things that are pleasing to us, I ask that you would providentially bring to our attention and bring to our minds and hearts how we respond to those things, how we use our words, that we would be careful not to take your name in vain. So I ask that the manner in which we speak of you in everyday life, and especially as we think about, even on this day, how we pray, how we worship, how we treat your word, what we say about you and your word and your people and your church, would be holy and would not violate the third commandment, we pray. And I ask that these things would be the case, not just in our outward form, but from the heart, as those who have been brought into fellowship with you through Jesus Christ, your only Son, again, that we might worship you alone and worship you in accordance to your word and treat you as holy, holy, holy. And Father, we do pray these things in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen.